Well, Happy New Year. How's everybody doing? We're going to spend a few weeks talking about something that we did last year. We've done it from time to time, but I really felt like last year was really important to call our church to a fast, and we're going to do that again this year. Who participated in our 21-day prayer and fasting last year? We're going to do it again starting tomorrow, like Chance said. I've just finished 21 days of feasting, and so now I'm going to enter into 21 days of fasting, and I don't want to be alone. Who can join me in this? So I want to talk about that today. Who has fasted before? Maybe a total fast for a number of days, or you fasted from some things that maybe had a hold on you, you know, had too much of your time and attention, and you know, I need to cut back. I need to kind of break the addiction of that thing in my life. Raise your hand if you've ever fasted. Okay, so this is not new for most of you. Today, I'm going to share some things, though, that'll be a reminder of why we fast, how we should fast. And I want to start with a couple of scriptures, and then throughout the next few weeks, I'll share a few more. And then throughout the next 21 days, we're going to have people in our church sharing daily devotionals that'll help us stay focused. Amen. But if you would bow your heads, let's pray. Father, thank you for this new year. Thank you for blessing us last year. And I pray that your blessings will continue into this new year. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would speak to our hearts today, that you would help us lead into and do what we're going to hear today, not stiff arm it, not avoid it. And I pray that you'd have your way with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me start with a few questions. Who would like to grow stronger in your faith? I think most of us would. It's easy to become complacent, right? It's easy to compromise. And so every year we have a new start, a new chance to take a break, or to have a breakthrough, or to jumpstart, get us back on the right track. Who would say you need a breakthrough or a reset in an area of your life, like financial, right? 2022 was not a great year for you, and man, things better turn around for 2023. Maybe it's with your health, or maybe a relationship, or a job situation, or business that you run, right? And so what I'm going to talk about today sometimes opens the door for things to change for the better. Amen? Who needs direction? You feel like you're at a dead end? Maybe at a crossroads, you're not sure which way to turn? And so sometimes fasting will clear the air, and you'll hear from God of what your next move should be. Or you need a prayer, you need an answer to a prayer you've been praying for a long time, and God still hasn't answered that prayer. And so fasting has a way to reconnect us in these ways. So I want to talk about that today. Unlike feasting, fasting is something we avoid because it requires us to give up things we enjoy. And there's different things we can fast from, right? We can fast from eating, or eating too much, or eating the wrong kinds of food that really hurt our bodies. You know, God designed our bodies to run on certain kind of foods and not too much of the wrong foods. And, you know, our soul likes to be in control. And, you know, like me, I take after both my grandfathers. One ate a whole bunch. The other one ate for long periods of time. And so I'm guilty by association. But you know what? Fasting will break that pattern for me. Maybe it's drinking too much. Maybe it's watching too much TV or too much video games or social media or things that we do to please our flesh. Fasting is a way to tell your body or your flesh no. And who knows, we don't like to be told no. But it's what we need to hear, not what we want to hear, but it's what we need to hear. And God's going to say, no, you need to stop doing that. Fasting allows us to do that. So I want to kick off this series. I want to talk about the importance of fasting. First, what is fasting? Fasting is a biblical principle or discipline in which you deny yourself physical nourishment for some duration, and in its place, spend time seeking God for spiritual nourishment. Let me say it again. Denying yourself physical nourishment and replacing it with things that would seek God for spiritual nourishment. It's not just abstaining from food or to quit eating, but it's to do that for a purpose. And in place of eating, we're going to spend time. If you normally spend 30 minutes to an hour for lunch, you're gonna not eat lunch, but in that same 30 minutes or an hour time period, you're going to get into God's word or prayer or devotion or something that will connect you spiritually with God and tell God, God, feed me something spiritually. Instead of me putting more stuff in this hole right here in my face, I want you to put some things in my heart that are going to be better than whatever food I can put in my mouth. Fasting means that you're willing to give up something you normally depend on, like food, in exchange for seeking God and hearing His voice for direction or for clarification or for conviction in some area of your life. Fasting shows God you're willing to put Him first, even before, what, chicken fried steak, cheeseburgers, apple pie, Bluebell. Lord help us. And how important is it to do it at the first of the year? On January 1st, we're declaring we're going to put God first over things that we have loved probably more than Him. We would never admit it. But I would say there's probably some things in our life that we would say we enjoy more than spending time with God. And fasting is a way to break that cycle. Fasting shows God that He and other things you want to see change are more important than eating, drinking, and whatever else your flesh likes to do. Paul said, when I become weaker physically, I become stronger spiritually. And that's one of the reasons we fast, is to become stronger spiritually. You know, we're made up of flesh and spirit, or you know, body, soul, and spirit. And our body and soul like to be in control. But God gave us a spirit to be in control. And the way you can tell which one's stronger is by which one you feed more often. And if you feed your flesh and your soul what you want more, that's what's going to be stronger. But if you starve that, then it's going to become weaker. So the purpose of a 21-day fast, or for however long you choose to fast, is to starve your body and your soul that wants to be in control and feed your spirit and let it rise up above and be in charge and take you in the right direction. Amen? Most Christians feed their flesh and starve their spirit, but fasting does just the opposite. And so one of the things we're going to do here at the beginning of the year is we're going to feed our spirit and we're going to starve our flesh. And just what if in 2023, for those that choose to pray and fast, just what if things change because of your commitment to doing that? And it could be a number of things. It could be your financial wealth and health. It could be your physical health. It could be your marriage. It could be your family. You know, I'm praying for people to come back to the Lord. I'm praying for our church to reach more lost people than it ever has. I'm praying for more of our members to get involved in life groups and Bible studies so they can grow stronger in their faith. The last time I checked, there are still 2/3 of your neighbors that haven't come to faith in Christ Jesus. That means if you live in a neighborhood, the neighbors on either side of you still need to be witnessed to and reached, according to the numbers. And so I pray that maybe that would be a new goal for every member of our church, is to be more others-minded And maybe your focus this year is to pray 3 or 4 people into the kingdom. That's something worthy to celebrate at the end of the year. Amen? And fasting will get your heart prepared for that. Fasting's mentioned all through the Bible. I want to read 2 verses. They're on your sermon notes. The first one's in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I would recommend that you go back this week as you're fasting, and now you have time to read your word because you're not going to be eating. That you go back and read, go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 18 and read the part leading up to what I'm going to read right now. It's kind of interesting how the king that I'm going to talk about here, he did something that a lot of times we do, we're guilty of. And so that whole story will speak to every one of us. But let's look at verse 1, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1. It starts off this way. After this, now you have to hit the pause button because now you need to know, well, what is this? Well, if you go back and read chapter 19, even back to 18, the king at that time, Jehoshaphat, was the king of Judah, and he got into cahoots with the king of Israel. Neither one of them were really living for the Lord. They had opened up to idol worship, pagan worship, and God was not pleased with them. And in a sense, Jehoshaphat had compromised in the eyes of the Lord, and the Lord saw it. But the Lord showed mercy on him because he knew there was something good in this king, and he was willing to give him another chance. And because God did, then Jehoshaphat decided to help get God's people back on track with him again. Has that ever happened in your life where you knew you were wrong, you got caught, you confessed it, you repented, and because God's mercy and forgiveness was abundant in your life, you decided, you know what, I'm going to serve God now. That's why I serve God. I mean, he kept me from dying eternally in hell. Why not give him the rest of my life here on earth and praise him and glorify him and live my life in such a way to say thank you? That's kind of the spot that Jehoshaphat's in here. It says, after this, the Moabites and Ammonites with some of the Mennonites came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. Who knows that when you decide to get back on track with God, the enemy's going to come after you. When you start fasting, the enemy's going to come after you. And he's going to put every kind of idea in your head, why this is stupid and ridiculous. Why are you starving yourself? Come on. Verse 2, some people came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. And I'm going to talk more about that next week. But why did Jehoshaphat call a fast for the nation of Judah? For the kingdom of Judah was to seek God's help and his direction. And that's why we fast today. Now turn to Matthew chapter 6, New Testament, verse 17 says this, but when you fast, this is Jesus speaking, when you fast, not if you fast, but when you fast. That tells me that Jesus expects us as believers to fast. He says, when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face. That's code for don't look so miserable. Hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing fine. I'm just fasting. He says, don't do that. Don't do that. Put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will what? Listen. If you fast, God will reward you in some way, at some level. And you won't know until you do it. Now, this doesn't mean you can't talk about it or tell others what you're doing. Just don't do it with a doom and gloom look on your face. You don't need to go tell everybody you're fasting, but if somebody asks, like, why aren't you eating at the men's breakfast? I'm just taking a fast, but y'all go ahead. Sluggards. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I think what he was trying to mean is don't draw attention to yourself, don't draw attention to your suffering, and don't use it as some form of spiritual comparison or, like I just did, condemnation. Do not do that. That's the wrong reason to fast. And so here's just a few notes if you're taking notes. Why should I fast? I think I have a slide. If you'll just take a picture of that, you won't have to write as much. Just take a picture of that. Why should I fast? Because about day two or three, you're going to need to look at that list. You're going to need to look at that list and remind yourself, why am I doing this? And here's the key to fasting. You need to decide why you're doing it before you start it, or it won't last. You will talk yourself out of it on day one. So you need to know, this is why I'm fasting. And to seek God in this way, or to get God to answer this prayer, is more important than what I'm giving up. And because it's more important, you know what? I'm going to give it up. Many of us will say, God, if you'll just do this, then I'll do this. And a fast is the opposite. God, I'm going to do this believing that you're going to do that. You see the difference? Fasting requires faith. Saying that you're going to do something after God blesses you isn't a lot of faith. And usually once you get what you have, you go back on your word anyway. So God says, let's put the horse before the cart, right? Fast first, show me you're serious about seeking me, and you will what? Find me. Seek me, and you will find me. You will be rewarded if you seek me with the right heart. The next slide is, what or how should I fast? There's a couple of different ways. You can do a total fast. I typically don't recommend these. I would recommend a water-only fast. So make sure your body stays hydrated with water only. Not flavored water with caffeine that comes in a 12-ounce can. I got on my grandson one day. I said, you sure drink a lot of those. He said, you know it's 90% water? I said, yeah, but it's the 10% that's driving me nuts. So water only is good. You can do water and juices. In other words, no solid foods. You can do what we call the Daniel fast. It's kind of how Daniel did his. It was pretty much fruits and veggies. You can do a non-food fast. You can fast from alcohol, smoking, TV, video games. In other words, if just the thought of giving up any of those kind of gives you the shakes, it's probably validation that you need to probably fast from those things because they have a strong hold on you and God is not in control. Amen? In fact, ask yourself, is there anything in my life that has a grip on me? Is there anything that has a strong hold on me? Because again, before you start a fast, you should answer the question, why am I fasting? And a great reason is to get delivered from or detached from this addiction I have. And it'll be hard. But if you'll stay with it and surround yourself with a few people that love you to hold you accountable, you can do it. And when you get on the other side of that and you no longer crave things that you've craved before, that's a huge win. That's a huge win, and you'll never get there unless you trust God with it. Here's just a few suggestions. God's word does not require or command anyone to fast. So you're not going to be disobedient if you don't fast. This is something that you should want to do. It's not a have to. It should be a want to for the desired results that I've talked about. No condemnation to anyone who chooses not to fast or to fast in a way that's maybe different than yours. Right? You may want to do a total fast, but as soon as you start thinking that you're more spiritual than others, the purpose of the fast comes to an end. Pride's entered in, and you're just wasting your time now. So as you fast, make sure your heart stays vertical and make sure your heart stays pure. You still love others, whether they fast along with you or not. And this may come into play with a spousal situation where one spouse wants to fast from something and the other spouse doesn't want to fast from it. Sometimes the enemy can get in there and you start barking at each other and down-talking each other, and all of a sudden, you know, that's not good. That kind of eliminates the fruit of fasting. Make sure you drink plenty of water. If you have serious health concerns, I would check with your doctor first. Maybe start with a short fast. Or some kind of a limited fast. I wouldn't just, if you've never fasted before, I would not recommend a total fast. Okay? But start with something small. Baby steps, right? Expect some physical pain. If you've never gone without coffee and you go 3 days without caffeine, expect a headache. Watch me. I'm preparing them. What if they don't get it? Most of you will. Listen. Jesus died on a cross and suffered great pain for our benefit. Are you willing to suffer some headaches? Or some stomach, what do you call it, hunger pains? Are you willing to go through that for him? Now, it may be that you don't. Praise God, he's giving you mercy. I'm preparing you for if it happens, because usually it does. And when Jacqueline calls me on day 3, ready to surrender and give up, I'm going to remind her. Last year when I fasted, those first 3 days, I was on a water-only fast. I really didn't suffer headaches or hunger pains, and I was surprised. But there have been times where I have. And so I just want you to be prepared, because here's what the enemy is going to say. If you just go drink some coffee, that headache will go away. No, I decided earlier, I'm going to do this for the Lord, and here's my reason why, and I'm going to battle through whatever physical pain or discomfort comes my way. Don't eat large amounts before or after the fast. So if your fast starts in the morning, maybe eat a cup of soup tonight or a salad tonight. Don't gorge yourself tonight. It'll be harder tomorrow. I'm just telling you. And then here's the key. In place of eating or doing what you're giving up, spend time with God in his word and in prayer. And I would recommend a devotional. Now, last year I used a 21-day devotion that YouVersion Bible app has. They have many. Pick one. This year, we're doing kind of a GC 21-day Devo. 21 people in our church are submitting videos of themselves talking with some scripture, some encouragement. Hey, guys, this is, you know, Joe Smith. This is day 11 of our fast. Here's the scripture I want to encourage you with. You can do this. Stay strong. We got people in our church. All you got to do is pull up your app or the website, Facebook, and it's just a show. I think we're going to send out a daily text message with a link. Just pull it up on your phone, and when you feel like wanting to break your fast and eat, just listen to one of those. You know what? I can go another meal. And let your brothers and sisters encourage you. And then how long should I fast? Again, before you choose, make sure you know the why you're fasting. It could be a 3-day fast, could be a 7-day, a 14, a 21-day. We see examples of all these different lengths of period of time in Scripture. Moses, Joshua, David, Elijah, Jesus, those are the heavy hitters, they went 40 days. Water only. Yeah. For those that thought you were like Jesus, just throwing that out there for you. Daniel went 21 days, but he went on a fruit and veggie regimen, a menu. Paul, 14 days. David, 7 days. Esther and Jonah, 3 days. I've been praying about what I'm going to do. I think I'm going to do a 3-day fast again and just see if I can go beyond that. If not, I'm going to do a Daniel fast for the remaining 21 days. But then the other thing that I said I would do last year that I didn't do last year, and that is to incorporate fasting into my weekly or monthly schedule. I did for about 3 or 4 months, and then that wore off, and I went right back into Bob mode. And so God's given me another chance this year to make that change, but to stick with it. And that is to maybe fast 1 meal a week, maybe fast 1 day a month, and let that become part of your regimen, part of your rhythm as a believer. Amen? And so today I'm calling our church to this 21-day fast. It starts tomorrow. It'll go from the 2nd to the 22nd. That's 21 days. The why, again, have that nailed down. I would recommend getting a journal book, and every day write down today's date, day 1. Write down, you know, here's what I'm thinking, here's what I'm feeling. It's okay to say, Lord, I'm feeling really hungry right now. It's okay to be honest. But I would say make sure the why you're fasting is, you write that down. This is why I'm fasting. I'm believing for, I'm believing that. And I'm standing on that, Lord. I'm standing on that. Every day, confess with your mouth what you're fasting for and why you're fasting, and that will help you. And then journal what you're reading in God's Word and how that applies to your life. Write down other people that you want to pray for, people that are sick and need healing, or people that don't know the Lord and need salvation. And pray for them. Pray for them. See, we remove the excuse, I don't have time. Yes, you do. You have 3 times a day that you can pray for people and pray for yourself. Pray for our church. Pray for God to move in a mighty way and just see what happens. And you're going to see some pretty quick results, and then you know what? You may not see some of the results of your fast until later in the year, maybe next year. But no, it was because you chose to put God first in your fast. So as we close today's message, I want to ask you, what do you hear God speaking to you? I think most of us can relate. If you go back and read the story of King Jehoshaphat, we've compromised in some way. And fasting would be a great way to say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for, and just journal it. Just be honest with him. Forgive me for putting other things before you. Forgive me for loving the wrong kind of foods that are trying to kill me. Forgive me for doing things in excess. Your word says do all things in moderation. Forgive me. You know, just let this be a cleansing time, a time for you getting right with God. And you know what his answer always is? I will. I will forgive you. I will forgive you. Because I want to bless you. And I want your life to be better. And because I see you sacrificing, I'm going to reward you. If you would bow your heads with every eye closed. Jehoshaphat had aligned himself with people that weren't walking with God. There might be somebody here today that you would say that about your life. I'm not walking with God. Or maybe you're watching online and you've never walked with God. And fasting has physical benefits, even if you don't know the Lord. But it doesn't have spiritual benefits if you don't know the Lord. And so if you're watching online or maybe here in our house today, and you're saying, you know, my next move needs to be, I need to get right with God. Before I fast, I need to give God my heart. I need to give him my life. And so I want to pray for those that want to do that. Just say these words with me. Dear Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner and I need saving. I believe, Jesus, that you died on a cross to pay the penalty for my sinfulness. Today, I receive that payment for my sin. And I believe in my heart that the blood you shed 2,000 years ago is still meaningful today. It still has the same power it did then. Today, it still has power today. And I'm now appropriating your shed blood to cover my sins and to forgive me so that you won't hold my sins against me. And starting today, you would declare, I can declare, that I'm right with God. I'm forgiven. I've received your grace and mercy. I've got a clean slate. I'm right with you. And from this day forward, I want to live right for you. Holy Spirit, give me the power to do that and the desire to do that. And as I enter into my fast, I'm going to hear you speak to me in ways I've never heard you speak to me. And I'm going to see things change that would not have changed had I not given you my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a big hand clap. And let's sing one more song. Let's prepare our heart and our spirit to get close to God through this fast. And I'll check in with you tomorrow because I'm starting the Devo tomorrow. I have something encouraging I want to tell you, so make sure you start off to watch day one's Devo, and I'll see you next Sunday. And can we all